Hello, my name is Lawrence Wilson, and welcome back to our study through the book of Hebrews. I hope you've been learning things so far as we've looked at chapter 1. We've seen the general theme of Hebrews play out, that Jesus is far superior to anything that came before him. We've already seen how Jesus was better than the Old Testament prophets. He was a better revelation of God than the Old Testament prophets, and how Jesus is a better minister than the angels, who are, we found out, ministering spirits. As we continue on in chapter 2, we will come to one of the first of the great warnings of the book of Hebrews, which again, of course, is a book of encouragement, of exhortation to believers who were discouraged because of persecution. So in Hebrews 2 verse 1, we read, "Therefore, because of everything that we've talked about in chapter 1, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." So because Jesus brings a better revelation of God than that which was delivered by the prophets, or that which was delivered by the angels, we should pay especially close attention to it. For, he says in verse 2, "Since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" So, here's the warning. We've got to be careful not to drift away from the message of the gospel. This message, he says at the end of verse 3, was declared at first by the Lord and was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So, since even the Old Testament message, even the message delivered through the prophets, even the message delivered through angels, he says here, that came the Old Testament, was reliable to the point that those who neglected to listen, those who neglected to follow it, received a penalty for their failure to respond. How shall we escape, he asked, now that we have a better message delivered through a better prophet, delivered through a better minister? How shall anyone escape today if they neglect the message of the gospel? Of course, those who believe fully in Christ will suffer no penalty, right? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, we learned in the book of Romans. But for those who choose to neglect, for those who choose to reject the message of the gospel, they should not expect to escape some form of punishment as well. There will be consequences, the author of Hebrews is alluding to here, just as for those in the Old Testament. For example, when we looked at the book of Exodus, we saw how the Israelites who refused to follow God's commands, who refused to follow the terms of their covenant with him, many of them suffered and died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And if that message, the message we have, is more binding, it comes through a better prophet, it's a better message, he asks us to be careful, for how shall we escape, anyone living today escape with this better message, if we neglect such a great salvation that Jesus Christ brought to us. And then notice what he says about Jesus a little bit more here in comparison to angels. Verse 5, "For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking," right? The gospel gives us the hope that the world will eventually be ruled by Christ. It will eventually be healed through his redemption. It was not to the angel or for the angels, right? It was not for the purpose of the angels that God was doing this, but for our purposes. Verse 6, "It has been testified somewhere," notably in Psalm 8, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him. If you go back and you look at Psalm 8, it talks about the incredible wonder and glory and splendor and the power of God in everything that he has done. And then it asks this question, what is man that you are mindful of him? What are we, brothers and sisters, mere humans compared to everything that God has created, compared to how powerful he is? Who are we that God would actually be mindful of us, that he would actually think of us? It's a tremendous truth to stop and dwell on. What is man that you are mindful of him? But then he continues on, or the son of man that you care for him, right? This term son of man can, of course, refer to anyone who's a human being, who's been born of a man or born from another human being. Or many times in the Old Testament, this term son of man was actually used to describe the Messiah, the anointed one who would eventually come, save the world of their sins, and rule and reign righteously. And we see that there are allusions to both of those in this passage, right? It was not for angels that Christ came and brought salvation. It was for us. What is man that you are mindful of him? But this son of man here, as we're going to see in the next few verses, is a clear reference to Jesus, right? Verse 7, you made him for a little while lower than the angels. So we see kind of the hierarchy of things in God's created order here, that human beings, mankind, is a lower creature than the angels. But Jesus, who was God in the flesh, God when he was in heaven before he became flesh, Jesus was greater than the angels. He became for a little while lower than the angels. It says, you have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Right? When God created human beings, he announced that they were to have dominion over all of the earth, that everything else in creation was to be under the rulership of humanity. But, of course, sin kind of threw a wrench into that plan. So he says at the end of verse 8, now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. But at present, we do not see everything in subjection to him. That him here could be a reference to the human race in general or to Jesus Christ specifically. Either way, right? Because of sin, we do not see that everything is falling under the rulership and authority of humanity in general, or of Jesus Christ, the perfect representative man. But, verse 9, we do see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor. Why is Jesus, who was greater than the angels, but now became for a little while lower than the angels, why do we see him crowned with glory and honor? Because of the suffering of death. How ironic is that? We would not think that because of the suffering of death, one would be crowned with glory and honor. And yet we that know the scriptures know why it is. Because it is the death of Jesus Christ that makes salvation possible for all men. Because it is the death of Jesus Christ that guarantees that one day all things will be in subjection to humanity and ultimately to Jesus, the perfect man, because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. So great a salvation we have to celebrate indeed, that Jesus, the one far superior to angels and Old Testament prophets, would come down to the earth as a man to become a little lower than the angels for our sake. Again, we can ask with the writer of Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him? We'll get into this topic a little bit more in the next video. But in the meanwhile, I hope that something said has ministered to your heart, and that you go out and share it with everyone that you encounter. Thank you, and God bless.